Over the last 6 weeks, we have been doing a series of sermons that are related to spiritual growth as they flow out of our vision statement. And today, the last of the six, is about sharing God's love and the joy of knowing Him with the world. And I want to start this morning by sharing a true story with you. This is about Krishna Napit and his family. And this appeared in the newsletter of Denver Seminary in their winter-spring 2001 issue. And this is Krishna speaking, and I'm going to read it to you. As I enter Denver Seminary, I leave behind a professional career in rural development. I was trained as an agricultural economist at Virginia Tech, where I received my master's and PhD degrees in 1986 and 1990, respectively. My wife and I came to know Christ while we were in Virginia. God brought many good Christians into our lives in Virginia. They helped us in many ways during those 6 years. The godly love they showed us touched our hearts and created a thirst and a hunger in us to know Christ. We went back to Nepal in June of 1990 after completing my PhD degree. We gave our hearts, minds, and souls to Christ and were baptized in July 1992 in Kathmandu, Nepal. Of course, as we look back on our lives, it is clear to us now that God had chosen us long before we knew Him. As I worked in several development projects in various capacities, God used my wife and me to plant churches, to witness Christ to unbelievers, to serve as a servant leader in churches, and to help new believers grow in Christ and witness Christ to other professionals in Nepal. This way we served God for 9 years in Nepal after my PhD degree. Story goes on to say that in 2001 he started at Denver Seminary. And his desire is to have more training in the scriptures and in the word, so he can go back to Nepal to be a pastor to pastors in Nepal. That church he refers to is BCF. And I want to tell you a little bit about the story. As much as I know, and I know there's a lot more to it than I know, but I know a few things, and I want to share them to you with you this morning as an encouragement relating to sharing the gospel with the world. And it starts with Shirley Martin, a great saint in this church for many years. Shirley used to teach English to graduate student wives. Many graduate students would come here. They would know how to speak English a little bit, but their wives would not know at all. And so Shirley was part of that program. And if you know Shirley, you can't know her very long, but what she's going to be talking about her faith. And so she shared her faith with Asha. And over a period of time, and Shirley can tell you the details, Asha came to faith in Christ. Also during that time, two elders in BCF, Dan Thompson and Dennis Snecker, had a dental practice. The Napit family had a few teeth problems. So Dan and Dennis did some dental work for them, some of it free and a lot of it at apparently very reduced prices. You can ask Dennis about that. And if you know Dan Thompson, you know that you're not around him very long until you're going to hear about the Lord. He was in the department that I work in, that I taught in for 32 years. I was on Krishna's committee, and Diane and I invited them over to the house a few times and got to know them. I invited him to come listen to me preach. I thought he might find that interesting from one of his committee members. And he came. And they liked it. And they stayed here for 6 years. And people loved them. Then an amazing thing happened. Tom and Cynthia Hale, medical missionaries, real doctors, not the kind we have around here, you know, the real medical kind. They went to Nepal. They invested their life in Nepal. And they came. And Tom spoke. And then Shirley Marvin invited a group of us to her house for lunch with Krishna and family and the Hales. We had a great lunch, had a great time. After lunch, Krishna asks Tom Hale, in front of all of us, "What is the most important thing I can do to help my country when I go home?" And without missing a beat, Tom Hale said, "Accept Jesus Christ." And then for about the next 5 minutes, he proceeded to tell Krishna in front of all of us what that meant in detail. I couldn't believe he was doing it. Boy, was it an education for me. I just watched in amazement. Well, you know the rest of the story. He became a believer. He went back to Nepal. He witnessed. He pastored churches. He shared his faith with other professionals. And now he's back in Denver getting a divinity degree so he can go back and work with the church in Nepal. Many people shared in the life of Krishna. I probably don't know half of the story. I've just told you the part I know. But it's so important for us to understand that here in Blacksburg, we're in a very unique place. They arrive at our doorstep all the time. And we don't have to necessarily go to the world out there. We just have to love and care for and share the gospel with the ones that God sends to us. Like Krishna said, we had no idea why we were going to Blacksburg, Virginia, from Nepal. God knew, and they're here. And so we need to minister to them. We need to love them. Not just them, but our neighbors and our co-workers and our friends and others. We need to share God's love and the joy of knowing Him with the rest of the world. Let me pray. Father, I just pray for the presence of Your Holy Spirit. May it move among us. May Your Word teach us. May we open our hearts and listen, Father. And I just pray that You would move us to action, that we would be moved by Your Holy Spirit this morning. Thank You for Your Word and the truth of it, and I just pray that You would help me now as we go through this passage. In Christ's name, amen. I want you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm going to read the first 12 verses. And what I've chosen to do is to basically, from Paul's life and what he shares in this letter, share some insights into how we are to share the gospel with others. There's quite a few significant insights in this passage. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And I'm reading the New Living Translation, so if it doesn't sound exactly like yours, that's why. You yourselves know, dear brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure. You know how badly we had been treated in Philippi just before we came to you and how much we suffered there. That our God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly, even though we were surrounded by many who opposed us. So you can see that we were not preaching with any deceit or impure purposes or trickery. For we speak as messengers who have been approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He is the one who examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know. And God is our witness that we were not just pretending to be your friends so you would give us money. As for praise, we have never asked it from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but we were as gentle among you as a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we gave you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that our expenses would not be a burden to anyone there as we preach God's good news among you. You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were pure and honest and faultless toward all of you believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, we encouraged you, we urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for he called you into his kingdom to share his glory. If you're taking notes, there are three points to today's message. And all of these points are related to how we share the gospel with others. And I'm going to talk about how do we communicate it? How do we present it to others? What should be our response to others when we share it? And what is the reward of sharing the gospel with others? So communication, response, and reward. And most of the sermon is going to be about communication, because this passage says a lot about how we should communicate the Word of God. My first point under communication is it all begins with God. We may not know that, but that is the truth. He is the one who gives us courage to share the gospel with boldness. He is the one who gives us boldness and courage. When we share the gospel, we're in a spiritual battle. And we will be opposed. Not necessarily by the person, but by spiritual forces that control the darkness. So don't be surprised if you get a little anxious or nervous when you start to share, because you are in the midst of a spiritual battle. But related to the point that it begins with God, it's probably good to remind you that Paul was in Thessalonica because he had had a vision when he was in Turkey. And this vision, this man told him, you need to go to Greece. Macedonia, as the New Testament calls it, but it's current day Greece. You need to go to Greece. Paul was intending to go somewhere else. But the Holy Spirit spoke to him through this vision. God spoke to him through this vision. And he realized that he needed to go first to Philippi, then to Thessalonica. So God was leading in this. And in your study guides, if you're participating in that. There are a lot of questions related to Acts chapter 10, which I preached on the last time I preached, so I'm not going to do it again. But I want you to notice something as you read through that passage. And that is, God is everywhere. He's leading. He's orchestrating the whole thing. Starting with Cornelius, then Peter, then the preaching. God is all over that chapter. Don't miss that as you study it. Because it all begins with Him. Second thing about communication that I want to share is we have to share the gospel with people. It's relatively easy to be friends and to like people and enjoy being with people and doing a lot of God talk. But at some point, the Holy Spirit will have to lead you, and when this is, we have to present the gospel. We have to tell them that Christ came and died for our sins, that we're all sinners, and that without faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what He has done for us, we will not be spiritually born again. We will not be His children. And we need to make that clear to people. In a loving and kind way, but it needs to be clear. Third thing I want to share about communication is that the character and the methods of the messenger are important. This is verse 4. Let me read it to you again. For we speak as messengers who have been approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Now, to make this point, and Paul was under attack, but to make this point, he lists a number of negative things that we should not do in sharing the gospel, and a number of positive things. On the negative side, in verse 3, he says, we should not share with deceit, impure purposes, or trickery. In verse 4, he says, we should share not to please men, but God. Man, I need that one. I need to read that one regularly. Verse 5, he says, don't share with flattery. Just don't say nice things to people to gain influence over them, things you may not really mean or believe. In other words, don't be deceitful. And then he says also in verse 5, don't pretend to be their friend to get their money. You hear about that all the time. All the church wants is my money. And verse 6 says that we are not to seek their praise. Someone comes to faith in Christ, we're not to seek their praise. And I have written in my margin, ouch. Then in verse 7, Paul turns to some positive ways that we are to share our faith with others. And the first one that he says is gentle as a mother. Now, the word picture here is a mother nursing her baby. And that is a very tender moment. And you know about mothers. You know, they have these children. They feed them. They burp them. Burp gets on the clothing. You wash clothing. No more get that done. Then you change diapers. Hopefully, somewhere in between that and the next cycle, you get a few minutes to just hold them in your arms and enjoy God's gift and just appreciate what He's given you. But then shortly, the whole cycle starts again. And it goes on And mothers, just keep loving and keep loving and keep loving and keep caring for their children. Paul says that's the way we're to share the gospel. Keep loving tenderly. Next thing he says, verse 8, is that we loved you so much that we shared our own lives. They didn't just share the words of the gospel. They shared their lives. And I think it's important that we understand they shared their own lives, not somebody else's, their own. I'm not saying that it's never appropriate to share someone else's, but one of the things I tire of in this email world is all these really cute and wonderful sounding things about God and of that general genre. And it's always something somebody else has written. Not the person who's sending it to me. Somebody else is written. And I keep asking myself, when are you going to send me one that tells me what's going on in your life? So when we share our own lives, we need to share what's going on in here and here with us. Our lives, not somebody else's. Young Life has a statement that I like. They say, "Don't tell me how much you love me, show me." I think that's good advice. At some point, you're going to have to tell them. But usually, a lot of showing helps the telling. Verse 9, we find out that Paul worked hard to make a living so that he wouldn't have to charge those he was listening to. And that has been the BCF model since it started 36 years ago. And Paul is our birthday this week or next week? Next week, 36 years. You might want to put that down on your calendar. Will be our birthday. And then notice in verse 10, Paul's behavior was pure, honest, and faultless. The behavior of the messenger really makes a difference. You've all heard the statement, well, they're all just hypocrites. Unfortunately, there's more truth to that than we would like to admit. So we're called to holiness. We're called to godly behavior. None of us are perfect. We will sin. And that's one of the things you need to share with people when you're sharing your own life. That being a believer doesn't mean that you never sin anymore and that you're going to be perfect and always seeking after God. You need to be authentic when you're sharing your faith. In this verse, in 1 Thessalonians, the word used is messenger of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the word is ambassador. We are God's representative, and we have the gospel that we are to share with the world. But this reference is not in your study guide, and I ask you to include it because it's a continuation of the thought that starts in chapter 5. It continues into chapter 6. And 2 Corinthians 6:3 says, "We try to live in such a way that no one will be hindered from finding the Lord by the way we act. And so no one can find fault with our ministry." Let me read that verse to you again. Talking about ambassadors and sharing. Actually, 6:1 says we're partners with God. And what he's saying is, as partners with God, we should try to live in such a way that no one will be hindered from finding the Lord by the way we act. And so no one can find fault with our ministry. Behavior is important for God's messengers. And then in verses 11 and 12, Paul says, we share like a father does with his own children. And that is, we plead with them, we encourage them, and we urge them. I thought a lot about how to talk about this, and I never really came up with a good idea except to remember that, now I know you women don't watch football, but if you watch football and they pan in on some athlete and he waves like this, is he going to say, "Hi, Dad"? I don't think I've ever heard one say, "Hi, Dad." What do they always say? "Hi, Mom." People really like to be loved. And so they really appreciate their mother who loved them. But then, us fathers, we have to plead with our children. We have to encourage them. We have to urge them on. Not that mothers don't do that, okay? But that kind of falls to our lot. So Paul is saying, when you share that tenderly like a mother, in deep love, but also plead with people, encourage them, and urge them. So in summary, how are we to communicate the gospel to others? Well, with boldness and courage, trusting God to use what is said. Trusting God's Holy Spirit to work in people's lives. We are to love people. And we are to share our own lives. Not just words, lives. And we are to be tender as a mother and as instructive and encouraging as a father. I have two more points, and I'll make these quick. There is a response in verse 13. If the Lord should move and a person responds to the gospel, basically what it says is we should never stop thanking God. Not us. Not how brilliant we were in presenting it. Not how much we love them. We should thank God for working in their lives. It's His business. We need to thank Him. And then, my third point is, there is a reward. Down in verses 19 and 20 of chapter 2, says this, after all, what gives us hope and joy, and what is our proud reward and crown? It is you. Yes, you will bring us much joy as we stand together before our Lord Jesus when He comes back again. For you are our pride and joy. So there's a reward in this life and a reward in heaven or with Christ when He comes. And that's joy. The joy of knowing that you have been permitted by God to be involved in the process of someone coming to know Him. There is no, well, I shouldn't say no. That is a great joy. I was going to say there's no other joy quite like that, but it is a great joy to be involved in the process. How many of you like Baptism Sunday around here? Yeah. Biggest attended services of the year. Why is that? Because it's the joy of knowing that these people have passed from darkness to light. And who's usually standing right over here on the other side of the baptistry? They're friends who love them. Are they excited? You better believe they're excited. Great joy. I've listened carefully for the last 10 years Every testimony, almost every one of them that you hear, will have some significant person who was involved with that person coming to know Christ. We tell them, don't mention them by name, but if you listen, you'll hear it. Somebody loved them, like a mother loves her child. Somebody loved them the way a father urges and encourages and pleads with his children. And Christ moved in their heart and they became a believer. And they are excited. That's great. So wonderful. And so here are some of my application points. The first one is, as our vision statement says, and you know it from Scripture, we are to share God's love and the joy of knowing Him with the world. Now don't think Nepal, don't think China. Think here in BCF, in the hall, your friends, your neighbors, at work. That's your world. Doesn't mean, and Chris has already taught on this, doesn't mean that we are to go to the nations. We are. And if you get addicted to enjoying the excitement of leading other people to Christ, that's probably what you're going to want to do. Okay? But I'm not talking about all of us immediately going to Nepal. I'm talking about us sharing the love of God in our world, our little world, by reaching out to others. We need to remember that our behavior is important. It impacts the message, the veracity of the message. We need to share like mothers and fathers. And we need to share our own lives and what God has done in our lives. And we need to share the gospel. There's one other reason to do this. And that is, it will absolutely jumpstart your spiritual life. If you actually get involved in loving non-believers, you are going to have adventure. You're not going to know what's going to happen next. You're going to get asked questions that you've never thought about before and don't know the answers to. And so what are you going to have to do? Go home and search the Scriptures. Go talk to your friends and say, have you ever heard this question before? How do you answer this question? I mean, it'll make you a different person. You won't come to church saying, ho-hum, what's going to go on today? If you get involved in other people's lives and actively participating in their lives, it is going to make a big difference in your life. You will pray like you've never prayed before. You will search the Scriptures. You will intermingle and interact with other believers. It will have all these positive impacts on your life. So my encouragement to you is, share God's love with others and enjoy the joy of knowing Him and watching others come to know Him. So our desire as elders is that this church grow spiritually. And that begins with a spiritual birth. That means that you must first be born again by the Spirit of God. Because without the Spirit of God, you are not His. So the first thing is, you must be born again. And from there, then our desire is that you get to know God, that you really enjoy who He is, and that you grow. And there's lots of ways to grow, and we had a sermon on growing. And then we need to be involved with one another and love one another. There's 66 commands in Scripture in the New Testament about loving one another. It's a major part of being part of God's body. It's loving one another. And then we need to serve. God gives each one of us a spiritual gift for the good of the body. Not for our good, for the good of the body. And we need to use it in serving one another. Then He's asked us to share the love of Jesus Christ with the rest of the world. Our little world, and for some of you, the world out there in China and Nepal and wherever. So our desire is, as elders, is that we all continue to grow spiritually and mature in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me close in prayer. Father, thank you for your love. Father, we were all sinners focused in on ourselves before your love broke into our lives and you called us to yourself. And because of what your Son did on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins, we have a gift from you, eternal life, if we are willing to place our belief and faith in you. Thank you so much, Father, for that. Help us to desire to grow in that, to use that to serve each other and to serve those around us who don't know you. And if you call, Father, to go to the ends of the earth, we ask for the presence of your Holy Spirit in this church and that we would preach your word and be serious about obeying your word and loving you and caring for others. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.